Hello and welcome to the USA Rugby Happy Hour Live. This is a unique show here in the United States. We talk to the biggest names in Major League Rugby, US Rugby, and plenty more. If you would like to come up and comment or ask a question, we highly encourage you to do so. We'd love to have the listeners drive this show. Lastly, to get updates on future shows and news about USA Rugby, Major League Rugby, and more, follow Eagles Overseas and Rugby Morning here on Twitter and most other social media channels. And it's about that time we can start getting into it. I am Bill Baker of Eagles Overseas, host of the Eagle Eyed Rugby Podcast, interviewing USA Eagles and more around the globe. My co-host isn't here yet. He's just having a little time putting his kids to bed, but he'll be here soon. That's John Fitzpatrick from the Rugby Morning, Fitzy. Today, guys, we have two guests tonight. Later in the show, about half past the hour, we're going to have USA Women's head coach Rob Kane joining us. He's actually in the UK right now, but he'll be joining us about half past the hour. Let's move on to our first guest. This gentleman is a former Life Running Eagle, star of the small screen, and a man so nice, he was drafted twice. Welcome to the show, everybody. Austin Gilgroni's Connor Mooneyhan. Connor, how are you?
Hey, what's up, guys? I just got my Twitter up and running today, so it's pretty funny that I actually know how to use this. I used to have a Twitter back in the day, and then I deleted it because I was like, man, I don't know if I need this drama, but it's good to be back.
Well, welcome, and maybe I'm happy to drag you back into it, or maybe you'll be yelling at me in about a month from now.
We'll see how it goes.
We'll see how it goes. So, Connor, we're gonna dig into obviously MLR, Austin, stuff like that. But in general, what's going on? What's your week looking like?
Well, right now I'm driving home from my wife's volleyball tournament. She just won her first game in a little league that she signed up in. Yeah. She played college volleyball at Life University. That's actually how we met. We were athletes together and we kind of met in that scene. But tomorrow we have our walkthrough down at the Circuit of Americas at Bolt Stadium with the team, and then we play LA this weekend.
That's gonna be a big match. I mean, for many reasons. One, Giltinis, Gilgronis. Both teams are playing really well at this point. Both of you coming off of good, big wins. And, of course, you guys are 4-0 by far. Well, I wouldn't say by far. Your team's leading the league in scoring and second in defense as far as points scored. I mean, I hate to ask you what your expectations of this match are, but, I mean, what are your expectations of this match?
Yeah, a lot of people are definitely expecting a big match this weekend because it's sort of like the brothers team, We're both the Gills. And obviously, there's a big rivalry there. The Giltinis, I don't know if you saw it earlier today. They posted something about wearing some Western clothes to their lifts, saying that they're ready for the Western matchup with the Gilgronis. So, they're definitely trying to spice some things up, and it's going to be a big clash like it has in last year.
And what's the approach from the coaching staff with this match? I mean, obviously, you're not going to give away any secrets, but. Is this a team you play differently than anyone else?
So I touched on it a little bit last night on the Rugby Network. This week actually has been pretty much the usual. It's kind of business as usual. Last year it was very hyped up. The coaches put together a lot of prezos and a lot of things to kind of get us hyped for this week because the Giltinis are definitely a big rival. But this year it's sort of like, we're off to this hot start and we want to focus on ourselves. And our theme for the week is next level. So we just want to keep going to the next level and bringing our game to the next level every game.
What's the difference between last year and this year? Just more playing together, different members in the team,
Yeah, so I think that there's different personnel. And last year we had a lot of things that were brand new to us. We had a new coaching staff. We had a rebranding, a new HQ, new stadium. Knew everything really, but it was kind of like growing pains, when everything is new, the culture is new, the team doesn't really know each other, still trying to fill things out a little bit. But then this year I feel like people have really bought in. We had a longer preseason and things are just starting to click.
And how about yourself personally? You know, how do you think your season's going so far? You know, you have a couple tries in the season now already and a couple matches. How would you rate yourself right now?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. You know, obviously I've touched on it before. I love the atmosphere up in Austin. Mm-hmm. I love what the team is doing. I have a really good time at practice. I enjoy the team. I enjoy the boys. Also the coaching style. It's a lot of player driven things that are going on, which is awesome. Yeah, just the atmosphere and everything in general. The vibes are up.
The vibes are up. Well, winning definitely helps.
100%.
1%, yeah. Let's talk about your teammates, Connor. You know, you've got a lot of experience, especially in the back line with Marcel, Will Maggie, you know, Bryce Campbell as he was the captain, you know, from last year to this year. I mean, are those guys that you can learn a lot from?
Yeah, it's more of like reliability. You know that those guys that you mentioned are going to perform week in and week out, and those are the guys that are kind of driving the back line as well. You know, all three of them are going to be playing this weekend, and all three of them are guys that we're going to be looking to for, you know, shot calling.
You know, I want to step back a bit, Connor, because I saw a video of you from a couple of years ago at Life. You were playing in Devin's match with Mitch Wilson. And it's the play where his jersey's coming off and the ball is wrapped up in the jersey and you were grabbing it like Globetrotters-esque. And having to score a try. I mean, you know, I was just cracking up, man. I mean, what was going on with that?
That was one of the weirder moments I've ever had playing rugby. I remember picking up the ball inside of Mitch's jersey, and I was like, what am I supposed to do with this? And unfortunately, I couldn't get the ball over the line. I think the ref would have had a tough time like determining whether or not that was a try, if the ball was actually touching the ground or if the jersey was in the way. But I think that would have been pretty funny.
It would have been. And are you – so let's talk about sevens for a second. Is this something that you might want to do, or maybe in the off season still?
Somewhat. Yeah, I do like the game of sevens. I know that it's, you know, really fast paced, and I did enjoy it a lot in college. And I went out to the Olympic Training Center in 2016 and got to meet Mike Friday, and I was on that young team, the pathway team, a little bit. And you know, sevens is a completely different game. And I feel like my body is kind of shaping towards 15s right now. And every time I play sevens, I'm always losing like 10, 15 pounds. And then it's hard to get it back. But no, I do like sevens.
Yeah. And in Atlanta, were you part of that Atlanta team, like Old White and those players? Did you ever join those guys for sevens?
I played against them a lot. Okay. I actually got invited out to play for Old White, that sevens team, after I graduated. But I hurt my ankle the night before my wedding, tore some ligaments. So I unfortunately was not able to go out and play for them.
Yeah, I played for Old White for 15 years. The beginning of the sevens era when guys my size could play once in a while, and I'm a little bigger. So,
hey, the big men can play.
I think so. Fitzy has joined us. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, Bill, and hey, Connor, and sorry, everyone, I'm late. My kids were not cooperating for bedtime. They're normally asleep by 9 o'clock, but of course tonight they knew that daddy was doing this, so of course they wanted to stay up a little bit later. So I apologize for jumping on late, but I'm glad we were able to do this.
Yeah, absolutely. And Fitz, if you want to jump in right now, you know, Connor and I have been talking you know, a bit about Austin's season so far and about his season, and then we're just talking a little about seven. So if you want to jump in right now with something, go for it.
Yeah, sure, if you don't mind. And hopefully I'm not repeating a question you already asked. But, Connor, of course, you know, big matchup this weekend going up against the Giltinis. Certainly the Giltinis had everyone's attention pretty much after week one last year. And certainly with the awesome, you know, fast start that the Gilgronis have had this year. Do you guys feel like there's added pressure kind of being with the target on your back with the fast start that you guys have had so far this season?
We've touched on that a little bit as a team, and kind of, you know, the players have been talking about it a bit, that we kind of have to keep our standard high because everybody's going to be gunning for us. We kind of have that target on our back, like you were saying. But we can't get ahead of ourselves. You know, it's only been 4 games, and we haven't really proved anything yet. And as this league has shown and proved, anything can happen any week. Anybody can beat anybody. So I touched on it before, but we just have to keep going to the next level.
No, of course. Yeah. I mean, right. 4 games is only 4 games. There's so much of the season left, but certainly a quarter of the way through, a good start. I guess, talk to us a little bit about the matchup this weekend. What are kind of some of the areas, the team's been focusing on as a way to, attack what, attack the Giltinis, or you know, what are areas of success that you guys will be trying to exploit this weekend?
Yeah, every week our coaches and leadership group do a great job of kind of finding trends in what other teams do and coming up with plays and strategies and techniques to attack those points in the game. And without giving up too much strategy, I feel like our coaching staff this week has really put in a lot of effort into our game plan.
And Connor, I want to back up a little bit, because I know, we talk about the season. It's early in the season, like you said. We have plenty of time to figure out who's going to win this whole season. But let's go back to last season a bit. I mean, are things, what's the word for it, a little slower for you? Because that first year, you were involved inside the scrum. I mean, there's camera in your life. You got noticed by Gary Gold, nearly got into the camp except for injury. You scored a few tries, 12 appearances in your rookie year. Are things a little bit slower for you now?
I feel like my life has been kind of hectic ever since getting drafted. Just everything has been go, 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 go. And even now, I sort of feel a little bit of that pressure. But it is, things have slowed down. Rookie season is done and dusted. You know, I'm not the number one overall draft anymore. We have another one. So I feel like a little bit of pressure is off my shoulders. And this year, obviously I've already missed 2 games, and last season I missed 4. Last week I had sort of an unfortunate event happen to me right before the plane was about to take off for Seattle. A couple hours before at practice, I tweaked my hip flexor. So the ATs had to make a tough decision, and, the coaching staff, and they decided to leave me behind, which was fine. And it was great to see the boys win. It's good to see that everybody kind of cares for everyone in this organization. It's good to see that, they weren't just going to force somebody to play if they weren't going to be 100%.
And speaking of injuries leading into the summer, USA, I'm sure that was a goal of yours to get Cap to pull on a USA Eagles uniform. It must have been difficult for you, suffering that injury, thus taking you out, possibly a chance to get your cap over the summer.
Yeah, that's another one of those unfortunate timing things. Suffering a head knock right before the plane was about to take off the next day for the UK. It's just, I'm a big believer that everything happens for a reason. My wife was there at that game. It was actually our anniversary. My mom was able to be there, my grandparents as well. And the team allowed me to stay in San Diego for a couple of extra days to just kind of catch up and allow my head to heal, which was nice for me. It was a good break. Maybe that just needed to happen. Maybe I needed that break in my life. And like I said, I think that everything happens for a reason. The time will come.
Absolutely. And are you in communication with the USA coaching staff now?
So that's kind of tricky. I was in this pool where, because of COVID, things were a little bit weird between players and coaching staff. Not weird, just like they had to know if you were vaccinated or not. And for various reasons, I was not fully vaccinated for a long time. I am now. And so I actually probably should rekindle that communication myself.
What would it mean for you to get the opportunity to put on a USA rugby jersey and compete for a Rugby World Cup? Granted, if USA beats Chile in July, certainly.
Yeah, that would mean everything. That's the goal. that's everything I've been working towards since I've, you know, since I started the sport when I was 11 years old. That's always been the goal. I remember going to a few USA games and walking up afterwards and getting some autographs of some of the OG Eagles and being so excited about it. And now, you know, having something like that just, you know, sort of in my eyesight and could be a possibility in the near future, that's, you know, that's what it's all about.
And we do have our first listener up here right now. Peter, how are you? Good to see you.
Hi, guys. Hi, Connor. This is it's Pete here from Arkansas. Just firstly, congratulations on all your accomplishments and with the team, especially this season. It's you guys have been doing great, man. So I've just got a question a bit on the technical side, on the rugby side of things. You obviously a product of the American rugby system. You know, I take it you fell in love with rugby as a youngster and started playing, then went to college, and obviously, you know, the guy saw you as a serious talent there, hence the reason you were drafted, etc. But since you moved into being a pro rugby player, you obviously rubbed shoulders with you know, pros from big rugby playing nations like, you know, South Africa and South America and Australasia and Europe and all these places. My question is, what do you think? Obviously, you got a very good understanding of American players, and now also from overseas players. What do you think is the biggest thing that you learned from these overseas players, and what do you think is the biggest lack in American players, or things that we can do better and lack, you know, compared to those players that, you know, some of them play for franchises that are like 150 years old, for example, you know, and obviously they've got an advantage and grew up with the game. But what do you think, what have you learned personally, and what do you think is the, are they more physical? Do they read the game quicker? Are they defensive understanding better? I would just like to know if you can give me your thoughts on that. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a great question, Pete. So for me, when I first got into the AGs, it was sort of like I was a little bit starstruck just because I was able to meet a bunch of rugby legends of the game. And, you know, a big thing that I took away from them was their professionalism and just how they conducted themselves in day-to-day acts and how they were serious when they needed to be serious and had fun with the game when they wanted to have fun with the game. And just their knowledge, you know, the knowledge of the game that they had was something that, you know, I'm still learning to this day. Even though I started at 11 years old, you know, the coaching at that age is a lot different here in America than it is in other countries. And one thing that is growing in America, though, that is great to see is when I came back from Argentina. So before I left for Argentina, the culture in the locker room at Life University was a little bit of like football crossovers and, you know, still talking about other sports in the locker room. And then when I came back, I noticed that the freshmen and all of the youngsters, all the people coming in, they really knew a lot about the game and they'd been talking about it like they'd been playing it for a long time. And it wasn't like these side conversations where we're talking about football and comparing it to other sports. It was like, no, like we had this goal to come to Life University or to come play at a higher level in America. And this is what we wanted to do since we were young. And that's the culture that we really need. And we need it to foster in America. We just need to keep talking about the sport to keep growing it.
And that's a good point also, Connor, is that you look at, despite the way they were having the conversations at Life before, Life has a pretty professional environment, you know, the clubhouse, the fields, that kind of stuff. You know, is that why you chose Life?
Actually, I chose Life University because I flew out there and Dan Payne kind of gave me a personalized tour of the school. And once I had that tour, I was like, you know what? This is where I want to go. So that was sort of my selling point.
Nice. And Atlanta doesn't hurt either. It's a good young town. Enjoyed yourself there, I'm assuming.
Yeah, Atlanta's a good city. And especially if you're a rugby player, because I feel like the rugby team is pretty well known there. And there's a lot of rugby down there, as you know. And so, you know, you go down into the heart of Atlanta, and a lot of people know a lot of the rugby team. So it's a good time.
And Connor, I know you've talked about this in the past. You know, you were the overall, you're always going to be the first pick for MLR history, you know, to Dallas, and then you were, you know, another pick to Austin. You know, go back for us a bit, and let's talk about this, the excitement of being picked by Dallas, and then all of a sudden there's no Dallas. You know, what were those emotions like for you?
Yeah, it was pretty, there was a lot of emotions. It was sort of like, hey, I want to go to Dallas. This is going to be sweet. I'm about to sign this lease to the apartment. I'm going to start my new life with my wife. And we packed the U-Haul and everything. And then we got the email sort of saying that they were going to postpone the season. And life was a little bit hectic. It was a little bit uncertain for myself and for my wife and for my family because, you know, there was a possibility that we could be going from the state of Texas to Toronto, Canada. So that sort of unexpected possibility was a little bit scary, but you know, as I touched on before, I think that everything happens for a reason, and Austin is definitely the place for me and for Morgan.
Yeah, definitely, and you definitely have family in Texas, which helps quite a bit. I mean, just playing in front of them in that environment, I'm sure you've had plenty of ticket requests as well from family. Is got to be big for you. You know, looking forward, you know, get another 5 minutes with you. Looking forward, what are your goals here? Not just Major League Rugby, USA Rugby, whatever else. You know, what are your personal goals in the game?
Yeah, I'd love to. So my final goal for last season was making the USA team, and that is still a big goal of mine for this season. Just to keep trying to prove myself day in and day out and try to be the best player that I can be and keep improving on my strengths and improving my weaknesses in the game. And, you know, obviously another goal is to keep myself healthy, try to minimize those head knocks because those are career-ending injuries if you have too many of them. So a lot of this off-season work for me has been, you know, working on my tackle technique and working with Sammy and the coaches and a few of the guys and really trying to nail out a few things in my game and really taking a step back and saying, wow, was I really just kind of flinging my body into people and not really caring about what happens or, you know, and just trying to like break down the little parts of my game. And those have been my small goals for this season. You know, just circling back around, the big one is getting capped for USA.
Connor, a couple of rapid fire questions for you. Who's the fastest player on the Gilgronis?
The fastest player. Okay. Do you want me to give you like a top five?
You know, top fastest back, fastest forward, and then a player who we would be surprised is pretty quick.
Ooh, okay. it's really hard. So, Hundy, our scrum half, is very fast. Dom McKenna, very fast.
Yeah.
Caleb Strum, a rookie that we signed this year, very fast. On paper, I think that Strummy, Strum Dog Millionaire, Caleb Strum, I think he has the fastest recorded on the GPS.
Okay.
So he's probably the fastest back right now. Don't quote me on that. And I certainly won't tell him that to his face because I'll tell him that I'm way faster than him. Fastest forward. Oh, that's – I don't know. Lerome White, you guys saw what he could do last year.
We certainly did.
It's probably Rome. I don't know. Well, don't quote me on that either. I don't want to give him that satisfaction.
Exactly. Well, I heard Strum Dog Millionaire, which is a hilarious nickname. So I have to ask, who's besides that one, who's got the best nickname on the team?
So Strum Dog Millionaire has a lot. He's got Strum Stick, Strummy, Strum Dog. The team calls me Sunshine. Who else do we have on the team? We got Shoopy, Shoop Dog. We got Hundy, who's our scrum half. Obviously, you guys know Bobby Dice. That's not his real name, Bryce Campbell. We got Will the Drill. I'm trying to think of who else. Oh, Marcel Broccoli. Instead of Brocky.
Nice. Who's the funniest on the team and who pulls the best pranks?
The funniest and the best pranks? I could probably put those two together. It'd probably be Between Pele and Dom, those are probably the two biggest jokesters on the team.
All right, so real quick, Connor, talking about Marcy, has he sang any songs? Has he given lyrics to you after a win?
Any lyrics? No, he hasn't. Yeah, what's this all about? I need to talk to him.
Look up video of him when he played for Western Force. After a win, he hangs out lyrics to like an Adele song or something, and the entire team sings it in the clubhouse. And he's right in the middle of it. Yeah, you gotta get him to do a song.
Oh, you know what? It's probably because we have our own song and everybody's singing the AG song after the games. But I'll get him to do a solo.
All right.
I'd love to hear that.
All right. Hey, Connor, I really appreciate your time. Thank you for joining us today. And this is a great 30 minutes. Good luck the rest of the season. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on. Have Cheers. A good night. Cheers.